Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Friends and fans around the world.
This is your worldwide broadcast home of the Seattle Kraken.
We are proud to give you the Seattle Kraken.
Sports Radio 950, KJR AM and KJR FM HD2, Seattle. An iHeart Radio station.
All right, it's Puck and Slick with you on a Not For Me Monday, a show brought to you by Redbox, smarter way to watch and play. We come to you via Thank a Teacher's Studio. Donation there by Kevin Calabro for 2 more days. In honor of his parents, both are teachers. So thank a teacher when you see one. Thank a Teacher Studios. All right, joins us every Monday talking all things baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for one of the greatest Mariners in history. It's Bucky Jacobson, star of the Chuck and Buck Morning Show, 6 to 10. Every morning, and the man's the only Mariner that's ever been in a Banner Bank commercial, so he's got that going for him. So take that, Edgar. You don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Edgar's pretty bummed out that he was never in a Banner Bank commercial. I mean, I had the option getting my number retired or being in a Banner Bank commercial. I chose the Banner Bank commercial, and yeah. I really stand by that decision.
Yeah. All right, you guys, about a little over an hour ago, had Jerry DePoto on, Mariners GM, 22 minutes. We're going to play a little bit of it coming up during this segment, first segment of it, or the first portion of it. What did you take away from your 22-minute chat with DePoto?
Oh, there's a lot, man. I mean, a lot of stuff he said. I would say the thing that I like to hear the most, it's a lot of it's coach speak or GM speak, I guess, in this case. But I asked him just point blank. I mean, in order for this rebuild to actually work all the way through, I like what he's doing so far, but in order for it to come fully to fruition, they're going to have to spend money on free agency. And are you willing to do that? Are you ready to do that? Is the ownership group ready to do that? And he just said unequivocally, yes, for sure. We are definitely going to spend money. So that was good to hear. Now, how much? You know, I hope it's not, they're just throwing two bits at some, you know, third tier, free agent out there, but hopefully they go out and assess the holes that they think they're going to have going into next year and address that by throwing some big money at some really good players.
We just kind of talked about that subject and kind of the words that followed, because his first response to that question was absolutely. But then he went and talked about past seasons and not wanting to spend that money because you have young players who have not yet reached a foundation, I think is how he phrased it. And so I just wonder in your mind, Bucky, because we all like the farm system that's third in baseball, and we all like the idea that a lot of these youngsters are going to hit, but we also agree that you have to supplement that with free agents and fill those holes. Do you think they should have been filling holes already, and where have they maybe set themselves behind in not doing that?
Well, I mean, they could have. That's pretty much, when we talk about it on the morning show, you've been there majority of the times that we have. You know, Chuck was pretty much under, he has the thought that he should have done it already, right? He states, people like the Padres, that they went out and signed Machado and Eric Hosmer and guys like that before they were actually ready to compete. And then you continue to kind of fill holes as that happens. I basically the whole time have been okay with the patience of going out and getting guys through free agency, because I thought that you had so many guys at the minor league level that were your prospects that you didn't really know for sure who was going to pan out yet. And I still don't think that they fully know, right? I don't think that they've written in ink whether or not Dylan Moore is a piece or not, whether Shed Long is a piece or not. I mean, I think that they know that Kelnick is going to be a piece. They believe that wholeheartedly, and that's a huge part of their rebuild. I think they have a few guys kind of that they maybe have grabbed the pen and thinking about writing it in pen, but they have a whole heck of a lot more guys that are written in pencil at this point. And if you go out to and use your free agent dollars last off season or possibly before that, I think that then you say, well, I don't think that any of the guys that play this position, like third base is not one that they have a ton of guys, but they might be thinking that Ty France could potentially transition into that. Or they might be thinking Dylan Moore would be the guy to step into that. If you go fill that spot through free agency, now all of a sudden you've kind of hamstrung yourself as to whether or not one of these prospects turns out being a guy that you could have there, and you could have spent the free agent money on, I don't know, top of the line rotation guy or something like that. So to me, I've been more okay with the patience that they've taken. It just now is, at the end of this year, now you've got to continue to assess your prospects. That never stops. But based on your assessment, at the end of this season, you're going to know you have some holes, and you have to go out and spend money on to fill those holes. And if they don't do that, then I think the whole thing will have been for naught.
Regardless of how it happened, but see, that's the one issue I guess I took with the interview in his answer to that question was because there's nothing in their system that says they have an everyday second baseman. I mean, Dylan Moore is a utility player. He knows that. He knows Dylan Moore is not an everyday second baseman. He knows Shed Long's not an everyday second baseman. So when there were second basemen available to sign this offseason, they didn't do it. Now, he can say, hey, we want to develop these guys, but the real reason is they just didn't want to spend any money. And that's been obvious from day one that they didn't want to spend any money. I mean, Colton Wong, they just didn't want to go to an extra year with him. So I don't know. I understand if they didn't sign a first baseman or a shortstop or a left fielder or a center fielder. Or I mean, there certainly are some spots there, but I don't get second base. I have a hard time.
Well, I hear you. I hear you, man. But I mean, ultimately, up until 3 weeks ago, were you sold on J.P. Crawford? Did you think, hey, that's a guy that we can just, boom, plug him in. He's a good enough guy to be, even after winning a gold glove. What I saw last year out of him offensively didn't make me think, he's for sure. That spot, don't have to worry about that at all. Right? And so I think there's got to be some truth to that. We want to see if this guy develops. I mean, you just say that Dylan Moore is a utility guy. That's it. Okay, and you might be right. He might not be good enough in an everyday role to be able to go out there and put up good ABs. But, I mean, I think what we've seen defensively, he definitely brings the glove to where he could probably play any of the infield positions and be pretty good at it. It's just whether or not he's going to be consistent with the bat. And I mean, my jury's still out on him. I don't have it solidified that now he's not an everyday guy, or yes, he is. And so that's where I think there is some truth to it. You're probably right that there's some truth to it. They just didn't want to spend money this year, or he was hamstrung by the front office, maybe, you know, the owner saying, no, not you to me. We're not, if pans out. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's truth on both aspects where, okay, they didn't give me a blank check to just go spend money last year. Matter of fact, they didn't even give me a check at all. But I wouldn't be too terribly surprised if he's actually somewhat okay with it, because I don't know if Shed Long is ever going to be good enough defensively to where I'm going to want him in the lineup. But what I had heard and what I had seen through the minor leagues with him is he's a guy that could hit at the big league level, and we know how important offense is. Hardly anybody can hit, it seems, nowadays. So, it's another guy that, all right, let Perry Hill work with him defensively. Maybe he becomes good enough, and maybe his bat comes around and he hits the way that they had projected him to. Then maybe you don't need to fill that spot through free agency. Manage. It still is yet to be seen, in my opinion, where some of these guys are. I'm still in evaluation mode of some of these youngsters. And by the end of this year, regardless of whether or not I've solidified my opinion, I'm going to go spend money on what I think I need based on what I know now.
Slick, you have a question?
Oh, I thought we were okay.
No, we got about.
You didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Like, apparently,
I see how it is, Slick.
No, that's not it at all. I just think that at some point you have to crap or get off the pot. I mean, you have these guys who, okay, maybe you can wait for them to come around and produce, and that's part of the evaluation process. But I just think you get to a point in a stage where, and that should be right about now, if you listen to everything that Jerry said for the last couple of years, to where, okay, either these players are producing, or we need to now move along with bringing in the major league caliber talent via free agency or trade or whatever it is in those spots.
You're right. There comes a point in time when you can't just say, well, we're undecided about this guy. You eventually have to make a decision, but just based on all the years that I played, there's a lot of times where if someone would have made a decision on me or on another player based on X amount of time, it wouldn't have been the right decision. There still was growth to be made, and I think that there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of arguments about the guys. We just talked about Dylan and Shed Long, and Ty France is in that category. Kyle Lewis, to some degree, with injuries, he's in that category. Obviously, Kelnick is there. Fraley's still there. There's a ton of guys that you just don't know about, and so you still are assessing. But then there comes a point in time when you got to S or get off the pot, and I think that time is the end of this season. This offseason, whatever your judgment is on some of these guys, whether it's, yep, he's one of my guys, then you go with it. If it's not one of your guys, then you've got to go fill that through free agency, because next year's the year. I mean, I'm not going to be sitting here at the beginning of next year. If they don't spend any money in free agency, don't make any substantial moves to plug some of the holes, I'm going to be not very happy about it, because then they will have been moving the goalposts like I know you think that that's what they're doing.
All right, we're gonna listen to the first part of your guys' interview this morning. Great job with that. It'll be up on the podcast there as well. Chuck and Buck, show page, Jerry DePoto. Thanks, Buck. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, fellas.
There he is, Bucky Jacobson, again, every morning, 6 to 10. All right, in case you missed it early this morning, or this morning, I should say, Jerry DePoto was on with Chuck and Buck. We're going to play you the first part of their conversation today. Here's the Mariners GM.
Well, let's find out. He now joins us here on Chuck and Buck. Is that accurate, Jerry? Everything's gone exactly according to script here this year for you?
Not exactly, but closer. You know, it's we did expect a little bit of some ups and downs, and this is the world of developing talent at the major league level, and the results of a young team that's learning. You know, and frankly, a young team that's also experienced quite a few injuries that we're trying to overcome and fill in the gap. You know, none of it is shocking. Some of it is surprising, and we adapt and move on and believe that in the long term, this is going to work out the way we had planned.
Well, give us kind of a state of the season kind of update then, because, man, you could point out the ebbs and flows of this. I mean, lost 6 at one point, had a 5-game winning streak at one point. I'm not sure many teams have had more injuries that they've had to deal with this season, and you probably weren't equipped at the beginning of the year to contend with so many injuries. The calling up or not calling up of young players. I mean, you know, not to just, I mean, we got a lot of questions for you, but maybe it's best to just start with where you think this 2021 season is in your head.
You know, I think we've battled. And if I had to summarize our season to date, we have somehow managed to stay afloat in light of a young team that's learning, an offense that struggled for about a month to find some consistency, a very inconsistent starting rotation that has had pitchers come and go due to injury. And, you know, we've somehow managed to float around the 500 mark throughout, which I think is pretty remarkable. And to your point earlier, you know, no one is really equipped to deal with the kind of injuries that we've experienced in the first half of this season, especially a team that's still building, you know, its foundation. And a lot of our depth has already been to the big leagues, and some of it has already been hurt along with the front line. So, you know, we've at one point, I think we had 20 players on the IL, but no one can endure that and thrive. So I'm actually very encouraged that we were able to survive. And that's the best thing that I can say about our season to date is we've watched some young players improve. We've watched them struggle, but we found a way to survive in the interim. And I think that's indicative of high character in a team.
Jerry, I don't think there is one reason for inconsistency. You know, I mean, youth does play into it, obviously, inexperience and stuff like that. The injuries obviously play a part in the whole thing. How much of the inconsistency and the injuries do you feel has a direct relation to last year? And some of these guys missing all of last year, and some of the guys only playing at an alternative training site, and even those that got to play only getting to play 60 games, and so you didn't really get everything. You didn't really get to get the body going like you normally do over the course of a long season.
You know, I think it's a really big deal, the 220 season and the way that affects everything else around it. And as an example, I'll point to Justice Sheffield, who, you know, for his final 8 starts of 2020 was outstanding. And, you know, obviously he's been a little more up and down in 2021 than we'd like to see. But the start that he just made against Detroit would roughly be the start that finished a full rookie season. And it's taken him, you know, parts of 3 years in the big leagues to compile that, despite the fact that he really was never optioned back to the minor leagues. It's just a unique element of this last 2 years in time. And everyone's dealing with it. But at the end of the day, you know, we will find a more consistent output. Now, some of it has to be or has to come from our players actually physically being on the field. But you know, this is the natural development of a player. And sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes, and I'll point to J.P. Crawford, sometimes it takes a little time. And if you're patient and you give guys opportunity and you believe in their abilities, this is what happens, is you see former top 20 prospects who start to thrive. And I think J.P.'s turning a corner. That's been really exciting to watch. But it took him 1,000 plate appearances to do it, and sometimes that's required.
Did it force you to change your timeline? It's been one of the accusations against the organization right now that they've changed the timeline that they set out to build this winter in 3 years ago. Have you adjusted at all your goals as to when this team is going to be more competitive and playoff caliber?
We still think that we're going to be a playoff caliber team, and this is going to be the foundation that's going to produce that. But if you don't adapt with what's happened in the world over the last 2 years, then you're foolish. And we're adapting. And if that means that we have to dull our expectations in the immediate now so that we can develop this young group, that's the goal, is to make sure that this group of young players develops into the foundation of a playoff club. And we still think that's very much a reality. You know, like I said, we found a way to hover around 500 now without really experiencing any consistency or luck from health. And we feel like with the right adjustments, this team has every chance to be quite good in the near term. And, you know, that could be the second half of this year. It could be next year. I'm not in the business of predicting when and how, but we still think we're going to be a highly competitive team in 2020 and 2021.
Jerry, there's a lot of discussion about this rebuild, and Chuck and I are both on the page. We like what you've done, what the organization has done as far as, first and foremost, revamping the minor league system. You got rid of a lot of money, and now all of a sudden, you got the kind of some of these youngsters that are kind of getting, it's, now is their time. They're getting here, and they're going to have to go through their growing pains, and you'll have more waves of the Julio Rodriguez's and other guys that are going to be coming in the next year or so. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what is the development of these youngsters? Now, obviously, they got to come up and just get experience, but what is, a lot of people think, okay, well, I want to see them prove that they can actually develop these guys, right? We got the talent. Are you going to be able to develop them once they get to the big league level? How is your feel right now as the development of the youngsters getting to the big leagues?
Well, it's going to be an ebb and a flow. And, you know, one of the, if I'm an investor and I check the market pages, you know, the Wall Street Journal every day, and I look at the fluctuations in my investment, I'm going to drive myself crazy. But if over time I look at the growth or decline in whatever that investment is, that then I will have a steadier heartbeat. We believe in these young players, and I'm going to use some examples. Logan Gilbert, in his first start or two, he's wrestling it. He's not using all of his pitches. He's learning how to slow it down and breathe. And in his last two starts, I think we're watching him evolve into, you know, what you watched yesterday. That's the Logan Gilbert that we've seen since drafted. And, you know, and to be able to go out there and do that on the big league stage is great. Now, to do it consistently, we're going to help him get there. I can say the same about the development of J.P. Crawford and more recently Jake Fraley. And these players are getting better, and we're watching it happen. And similarly, you'll see some other players that are falling short and they're not getting better at the same pace or rate. But they're all in their mid-20s. We believe in them. We're going to give them an opportunity. And we're not going into this with the belief that every single one of them is going to hit on the ceiling that we believe they have. That would be unfair. No one is able to nail it 100% of the time. But we believe this group is pretty good, and we're going to watch as they continue to evolve. And what we have to do is be forgiving of the fact that this is the big league. It's a really hard league to break into. And sometimes, and I've said this over and over, player development is not linear. Sometimes it takes a couple of turns that you wouldn't expect. And lo and behold, you look up and 2 or 3 years go by and the player has found a way to stabilize himself. And some players need an opportunity to go back and reset in the minor leagues and then come back and you know, they're blazing their trail. So it's a, we're not experiencing anything different than normal, you know, growing pains at the major league level. And we have every expectation that it's going to wind up leading to good things.
There is Jerry DePoto, part one of the interview Jerry did with Chuck and Buck early this morning. It will be up at sportsradiokjr.com. If you have the iHeartRadio up, download the app. You can listen to the station and all of the podcasts up there as well. We're going to play part two at around 12:29. 12:29, we'll play part two of Jerry DePoto on this morning there with Chuck and Buck. We'll have to react to this, but we'll got to talk a little football next. Mandatory minicamp is this week. Curtis Crabtree, he joins us every Monday at 11:30. He'll join us next.
Tonight, the NHL playoffs continue. It's game one between the Montreal Canadiens versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drops at 6.
Shooting scores from the right circle!
On your home for the Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
It's fucking Slick back with you here. It's a Not For Me Monday. We come to you via the world-renowned Think A Teacher Studio. $800 donation by Casey Kevin Calabro in honor of his teachers. We'll open up the auction tomorrow at 12:30 if you'd like to get in on all the fun. Also, it is U.S. Open week, so that means the Major Golf Challenge is back. Yes! How do you win? Well, all you got to do is log on to sportsradiokjr.com. Select a golfer in each of the groups until you've predicted the top performer of all nine groupings in the tournament. The one entrant with the lowest number, with the lowest score, right? That person is going to win foursome at Gamble Sands.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's all brought to you by Fairway Mortgage, Lakeland Village Golf Course, and Gamble Sands. You have, let's see, until Wednesday, the end of Wednesday, to get it all in. U.S. Open starts on Thursday at beautiful Torrey Pines. Is this the year?
No.
That Phil Mickelson wins the U.S. Open? It's been the bridesmaid number of times.
I love that. I mean, every year we have to ask the question, but now after what happened a couple weeks ago, we really have to ask the question after the PGA.
Hey, maybe he went well. He's always, the guy's finished runner-up how many, like eight times or something. joining us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, as he does every week at 11:30, talking to Seahawks, it's our good friend Curtis Crabtree. Follow him on Twitter at Curtis_Crabtree. All of his work at Sports Radio, KJR.com. Hi, Curtis.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Training camp, mini camp starts tomorrow. So Tuesday through Thursday, and this is the big one, right? Because it's all mandatory.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, it's mandatory as much as that means mandatory given teams' approaches to it this year. We'll see how many people actually show up. And obviously a couple teams have, you know, scrapped their mini camps altogether and said we're good. And so, interested to see how the next 3 days look.
Do you know before we get to it tomorrow what their approach is with this?
I think because they kind of let them be a little more lax early in the process, I think they're basically planning on having a normal sort of mini camp. But that would be the three most, you know, worthwhile days of the off season to get working, because they can actually line up against each other, offense versus defense, a little bit more and do some more team stuff in that regard. So I think they're going to be, for the most part, pretty normal for Seattle tomorrow.
Now, this particular mini camp every year, is this the one they've kind of got dinged in the past for being a little too physical, trying to do a little too much, a little too handsy?
Frisky, handsy. Yeah. Handsy. You know, people like us have been accused of being handsy.
I don't remember if they, off the top of my head, if those came from the mini camp or the OTA practices. I remember one of the incidents. I can't remember the players that were involved with it, where, you know, a receiver and a cornerback basically ran into each other and collided and banged heads, and that was part of the reason one of them got they got nicked one time, and if they weren't wearing helmets, that wouldn't have been a mini camp. So I'd lean towards that being more an OTA when that happened. But yeah, it's this poor period of the off season where they had too much, where they were going too hard, obviously, that led to some of those penalties before.
Well, this week has got to be probably important for one person, because he wasn't there during the voluntary ones, was Jamal Adams. Do we think we see Jamal Adams on the field tomorrow? If we see him, will he have a back issue, though, but he can't participate? What do you think?
It would that would be my guess, is that he would show up and then not participate. Yeah. That's what Marshawn did back in the day. It's what Bobby Wagner has done. It's what Michael Bennett has done. It's what, you know, a number of these guys have done, because it's June and they don't want to play football yet, basically, and risk that at this point in their career, you know, being veteran players and such. And particularly with Jamal Adams being in a contract standoff, he's not going to want to go out there and tweak something and have that potentially hinder a contract discussion. So I think that would be what I would assume would happen, but we'll see what happens.
Last week when Russell Wilson talked, when you know, obviously there was the grand part of the, you know, the majority of it where he decided not to say anything at all, but the thing that he did kind of open up about a little bit is Shane Waldron and this offense, which it sounds like they're going to use a lot more tempo, which is something that Russell Wilson has kind of always wanted to do. Do you expect that that's just more Russ talk, or do you think that they will kind of hurry up and use tempo more and be quicker, kind of like, you know, maybe like they used to be under the Holmgren era?
Well, Russell might say he wants to play tempo, but then he's the one always taking delay of game penalties, or almost taking delay of game penalties too. Like, at some point, you know, you need to snap the ball and get up to the line of scrimmage and move a little quicker if you want to play with tempo.
Well, how much though was that him, and how much was that the coordinators though?
Some of it's probably, I mean, it's certainly, there's going to be both sides of that for sure. Because if he's not getting the play early enough, then that's one aspect of it. But there's other times where there was not a ton of urgency in those moments either. So, yeah, I think it's both sides of the coin there. But, yeah, there's just like with Daryl Bevel moving to Brian Schottenheimer, there's going to be a chunk of this offense that's the same, because it's stuff that they know works well, Russell does well, and they're going to keep over with some of that. But it does sound like, between the comments from Pete being super excited about it, DK Metcalf, and Russell Wilson, that's basically all we have to go on so far. There does seem to be enough of a shift in what they're trying to do here with this offense under Shane Waldron, to where we should probably expect it to look a little different, whether that means, you know, motions and formations and how they get to certain plays and all of those sorts of things is what I would expect to be different about this offense when you get there. In addition to, yeah, if they can pick up the tempo a little bit, that would be beneficial to them as well.
Curtis Crabtree joins us every Monday, 11:30, talking Seahawks minicamp is this week, mandatory minicamp tomorrow through Thursday. Then they're off until, I think, July 27th when they report, and then the first practice is the 31st. You can follow Curtis on the old Twitter sphere, at Curtis_Crabtree. All of his work at SportsRadioKJR.com. Moonlights with Pro Football Talk there as well. What did you take away? We haven't talked to you since the press conference from Russell Wilson. What was your takeaway or takeaways from that?
I think it was Russell trying to do, you know, a little bit of damage control, just with the whole, I want to play my whole career here in Seattle. I've always wanted to play my whole career here in Seattle and all of that, because that was the entire purpose of his agent going on record with the comments he did, was so he could have plausible deniability at the end of things. So I didn't ask for a trade, you know, I didn't say anything about it, wanting a trade, blah, 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 blah. So, I do think some time from the end of the season has mellowed out some attitudes and such. And I mean, I think it's just simply that Russell is sensing his football mortality here a little bit and wanting to have more Super Bowls under his belt at the end of the day, because he thinks he's on the same level as Tom Brady and Joe Montana and some of the best quarterbacks to ever do this. And he's not that, but he thinks he is. And he feels like he's had opportunities slipped by. And I think that's where this all kind of comes from, and particularly how much it must have stuck in him watching Tom Brady win another Super Bowl and when he was down at that game in February. So I think that's what kind of all sparked this and kind of got it moving a little bit. I do think some time from the end of the season has allowed that to mellow out a little bit, and the fact that the reality is that this is a marriage that's beneficial to both sides of the equation here. And they need to find a way to get it back on track and working together. And it seems like, at least for the time being, that they've done that. Now they need to win again this year to
right.
keep things moving in the right direction and stay on track and all that. If they go 4-12, well, it'll probably be a different thing next offseason, I guess 4-13. That's always going to screw with my head.
Curtis, I got about a minute here. I want to sneak this in real quick.
Yeah.
Alden Smith, what's the update on him?
Oh, yeah.
There hasn't been much one that I've seen. Basically, they're just kind of letting that whole process play out. I haven't seen any updates on the legal situation he had stemming from that incident. And so I think it's kind of one of those, they're just letting it play out and seeing where it goes. Very similar to where Quentin Dunbar's was this time last year, where there was an incident. Now we just got to let it play out and see what happens. And then once that comes to fruition, we'll see where to go with it from there. It's, I think, how it's being approached.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll Slickhawk will wrap with you next week. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
There he is. Curtis Crabtree joins us every Monday at 11:30. Talking Seahawks mini camp starts tomorrow, rolls through Thursday. Yeah, you forget about Alden Smith. I forgot that they had Robert Kimdiche. Forgot they signed him.
Yeah.
But Alden Smith, like, what the hell's going on with that story?
I know. So, I totally forgot
about
that.
Maybe we'll have some resolution or maybe some new information tomorrow whenever Pete Carroll talks this week. All right. Your tweet of the day. We go into the vault, into the Wayback Machine. One of the greatest moments, one of the greatest shots in NBA history. Your tweet of the day next.
This week, it's another EQC Note Thursday. Tune in at the top of every hour for your chance to win 100 bucks and possibly more. Thanks to the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest, on Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Tweet of the day. We scour the internet for fun, entertaining stories and audio, all of it. We love it. You can send it our way. Jason Puckett 20 on Twitter.
Slickhawk 12 on Twitter.
CKid206.
Yeah, he's back. Chris Kidd, the divorce. We got an extra day in the kid swap.
Not really. Well, I guess it doesn't matter for you because you won't be here Friday, but.
Damn right.
He won't be here. He'll be in the morning.
Yeah, well.
We just switched around. We switched days.
I just love having him in here.
Yeah.
This brings up. Oh, hey.
For that reason, right there.
What email did you get?
Let's find out.
Was it more the chain from the iHeart last week and the reply all to the
You're
emails?
You're ruining my best moment of the weekend.
Don't reply all.
That was great.
Jesus.
That was.
Mother of God.
That was the best amazing. Thing I've ever
and
seen.
And then this is why I want to punch Shockey in the throat.
Why?
When he did the email to everyone. Hey, I'd like to take some time out and congratulate what Puck and Slick have done for raising money for the first of all, because no one in the station and no one in the company knows because they don't listen, so no one knows that what we've done, which is fine. We don't care. But then what do we get now? Now management has to pretend like they care.
Oh, congratulations!
Oh, no. What a congratulations!
You guys are awesome.
And 50,000 emails come in. Of exactly, that's why he did it, because he knows how much I hate that. The reply all
It was there. Very nice to read.
He did it for one reason only, though. For the reply all. Like, that's what I want to punch him in the throat. You know, people you've never heard of. Or, some, I don't know. Someone that's on, like, Jack FM. I've never heard.
Well,
what a great job.
The best part about the reply all, I mean, you had, I feel like I now know so many people in so many places in the country that are part of the company.
Shockey started following them on Twitter.
I think Mo Egger and I are best friends now.
All right, tweet of the day. Oh, what I remember where I was. What a day. What a game against your beloved team as well.
This ruined a good chunk of my childhood.
June 14th. God, it's crazy. Is the NBA schedule really back or something? Like, what?
Yeah, they're back to regular scheduled programming next season.
Okay, so this will be the finals this week?
No. The finals will be in July.
Next year, you mean?
Really?
Next year, yes.
That's what I was saying. Next
year's
back.
Next year, this time. Correct.
This year's pushed back a little
bit. June 14th, 1998. The greatest shot in NBA history.
Oh, come on.
Game 7, or from championship number 6. Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead. Timeout, Utah. 5.2 seconds left. Michael Jordan running on fumes with 45 points.
At the end of the game, you got to get it out of his hands. Jordan frees himself up for a clean look. The greatest thing about Jordan is he has all the tricks. That's why it's so difficult to guard him.
If that's the last image of Michael Jordan, how magnificent is it? Stopped it. Harper's on him. Behind the screen. Harper got a piece of it. It comes off. The Chicago Bulls have won their sixth NBA championship, and it's their second three-peat.
Unbelievable. Mm. And no, he didn't push off.
Oh, I mean, he did.
He didn't.
I mean, he did.
He did the same move to him in game one and did the same exact move to him in game six. Michael Jordan, yeah, it's just crazy that I mean, what are we in? We're not even in the conference finals yet. And that was the finals, June 14th, 1998.
Squeeze it, Malone.
Well, that's really the best play is what happened on the defensive end. Before that, what set up the last shot?
He stole it.
He came out. He knew, but because he knew that's what they always did. He snuck away. Slapped the ball out of Malone's hands, had it. Phil Jackson, why would you in the world would you call a timeout? He doesn't. Get in your best player's hands, and it was all over. And they thought for some reason, let's not try to go double him. Let's let Byron Russell take him one-on-one. Yeah, that was
it. Because that had worked so well.
That was a good decision.
The whole series.
He was a monster in that game. 45 points. He played 43 minutes. The next highest score in that game was Tony Kukoc. He had 15. Pippen had 8 points in that game. He just was an animal. He just did it, whatever he wanted. He just knew it. I mean, that game, he was gonna put the entire game in his hands, and he did that. He was just
an assassin, man.
Absolute assassin.
Man, I was in it deep back. I mean, I was a Utah fan.
You sure were.
And so, yeah, that was painful for me.
The second three-peat, of course, that's when he should have walked off and just retired and never come back. But then he had to get the urge to play a few more seasons with the Wizards.
Look, man, I bet you there's part of him that would go out there today and play.
Mike, here's the thing I would have wondered. If had they not had this, you know, and it was covered in the documentary, you know, had Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson and not had gotten along and they didn't have this power struggle, I mean, how many more years did they go? I mean, how many more years could they win two more? I mean, they never were pushed to a game seven. That's the crazy thing about
them. Yeah.
Never once did he go to a game seven in the finals.
The Lakers are probably the next team that would have given him trouble, right?
Who won in 99? That's the Spurs. They would have beat the Spurs. Sorry. They're beating the Spurs. 99, 2000. I mean, we're a few years away from the Kobe Shaq thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Because when he retired, I mean, how old was he? He was 34.
Yeah, 2000 was the Lakers.
Okay, so God, that would have been great.
Yeah. The Lakers who had just beaten the Blazers on the alley-oop.
Are the Lakers ever a thing?
Without Phil.
Well, because, I mean, if Phil Jackson stays and coaches Jordan, do we ever see Kobe and Shaq with Phil Jackson? I mean, you think about that decision to break that up.
Mm-hmm.
What that then, the ripple effect of that was, Phil Jackson joins the Lakers. And I think we can safe to say, the Lakers probably don't become the Lakers of that ilk without Phil Jackson. Now, do they win a title? I mean, I will never know, but they probably aren't three-peating. I mean, he brings that level of, you know, coaching and all of that, you know, acumen to it.
Yeah.
Wild. And the guy comes back 4 years later at 38 and pumps in 23 a game.
He was pretty good.
23 a game. Just all hefty out there and just, you know, getting buckets, but... I have a great picture of it. It was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. My good friend, shout out to Mitch Spear. And I think I've taken a picture of it. He painted. He's an artist on the sign, and he painted a shot of that. It's great. It was a great. Then it's hanging in my. In fact, when you see it, we ever do shows from my office.
Yeah.
Or tape interviews. You can see it in the background.
Oh, okay.
It's wonderful. I'll point it out to you next time.
Next time.
All right. Top of the hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dylan Thomas. Great story. Dylan Thomas for the Mariners. He had spent 10 years in the minor leagues before being called up last week. He comes, he gets called up, He has an RBI. He's got a leaping catch. It's a great story of perseverance in a sport that demands you to be patient at times. And he was patient for 10-plus years. Got his moment to break into the bigs. It was a short stint, but what a cool story. And he is a fun guy to talk to. Dylan Thomas of the Mariners will join us next.
Tonight, the NHL playoffs continue. It's game one between the Montreal Canadiens versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drops at 6.
Shooting, scores from the right circle!
On your home for the Seattle Kraken and the NHL. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.